This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, CliffCentral.com. It's 5 minutes after seven. Busy day today. Busy month of August ahead of us. Loads of cool things going on. I don't know if you're into this. I got an email this morning. There's this thing going around at the moment about banning straws. Are you aware of this? This isn't something just I'm thinking about, right?
Yeah, Gareth, we all have to, otherwise the world isn't saved.
Well, it seems to be one of those things which isn't really going to make that difference, but people think it will, so they've turned it into a thing so they can show how good they are.
What do you mean?
Well,
like if people started just wearing it as a badge
example,
of honor on social
there
media.
There are a lot of food outlets that are starting to ban straws because they don't like the idea of plastic straws. They say that they go into the ocean, they pollute, they go into landfills, they pollute. Plastic straws
break down.
They don't break down for like 2,000 years or whatever. And obviously straws are a problem, but I can guarantee you there's any other kind of plastic that's just as big a problem. But we're focusing on straws because it will be a small victory. Yeah, it's one of those things. Like I know someone who only drinks with a straw, everything that she drinks.
Why?
And I don't know, she doesn't like, she just likes the straw. She doesn't like touching the edge of a glass with her lips.
Yeah, it's going to make your mouth look like a...
What do you mean? Always pursing your lips to have a straw?
Yeah, it's like smokers. They end up having mouths like... I don't want to say the word.
Like a bum. A sphincter.
Yeah. There we go, Gareth. Yeah. I was going to go with anus, but yeah.
And right. Anus.
I didn't think about that, actually.
It's such a hard word to say, anus.
No.
It is. It's a tough word to say.
Anus.
You try to say anus today in a conversation. Good luck.
Well, anyway, so I got this email from one of the places that I sometimes get lunch at, and they were like, oh, we're trying to ban straws. But some things, it's really difficult to, like, you try a smoothie without a straw. It's awkward.
Sure, but there are alternatives. There are paper straws,
yes,
and there are also those.
No, I'm happy to use those.
Yeah.
I'm by no means am I standing up for the straw lobby, okay? I just think this would be a very small victory in a serious battleground, which has to do with all kinds of pollution. I said it the other day. We have so much litter around in South Africa. There is not a highway or road that you drive down that doesn't have filth piled up on the sides of it, or at least gathering in the gutters and everywhere else. And we're worrying about straws in fast food places. I don't know.
Exactly. It's just...
Our priorities are all wrong.
I get it.
A bunch of middle-class white people are getting upset about straws, but actually we've got filth everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, like your heart's in the right place, but all this plastic that can't be recycled. There's places in the world where they're making bricks out of the stuff.
Yeah.
So why are we not doing something that's like that? Like, your straw, it means nothing.
Yeah, yeah, it's...
I don't think it doesn't mean...
Yeah, but
it means nothing.
Yeah, but it's like... Well, the house is on fire. How about we have, I don't know, no lighters in future?
I just recognize the small step that it is, regardless.
Yeah.
Because the heart's in the right place. Let's put it in a better place.
I totally am with the straw banning people. I think, you know, anywhere we can recycle plastic and put it to good use rather than throwing it away.
At least you're doing something.
I'm sick of that because that also is such a cop-out for people. Like, I'm doing something, but then they go home and they throw away like tons and tons of packaging from the grocery store.
Exactly. When they go home and their online delivery arrives and there's like 73 layers of plastic.
Yeah.
People aren't... Yeah, I just think I recognize it for the step that it is.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe you're onto something. I mean, I hope that it does lead to something.
Look, and hopefully it gets you thinking about other stuff as well.
I'm going to try to do my bit. I know Ben is recycling.
Yeah, I'm recycling.
You know, so we're all doing our little bit, but I don't know if our little bits are doing enough.
I'm even that person who, regardless of whether a celebrity is getting paid to endorse something, a campaign or not, if it is for the greater good, I'm just behind that regardless. The current issue of Cosmopolitan has the actress Nomzamo Mbatha on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the heading is Nomzamo Mbatha, the activist, because it's the activism issue. And social media really like teared into her, saying, well, who are you to be an activist because you are paid to stand up for anything that you do?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, there is probably someone out there who just follows Nomzamo Mbatha on Instagram and will like everything that she posts, including the fact that she went and worked with the United Nations and they now know about child trafficking and they didn't know about that before.
Yeah.
I just, at least I'm grateful for the small steps that we take regardless.
Someone's doing something.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like you should also be doing something.
I definitely get what you mean when you say it's a bit of a cop-out, but
anyway,
at least.
Look, give me an alternative, though. I can't scoop my smoothie into my mouth with a teaspoon, so give me a paper straw, is what I'm saying. Yeah. These are the real problems we have in the 21st century.
Yep, but then your smoothie will cost an extra R3.
But geez, I saw a video recently of a diver who went to Bali and got into the ocean and saying, all of you people who want to go to these places like Bali and bathe and
look at how it's ruined by plastic.
Have a great Instagram. Yeah, the rubbish underneath in the middle of our oceans is scary. It's shocking to actually see how much dirt lies deep in the ocean.
I think we've spoken about it a couple of times, but that rubbish island.
Yeah.
Plastic island, yeah.
I saw a really interesting clip on Facebook the other day of this vehicle, this machine that kind of floats around. It's almost like a water drone, I suppose, and it eats the plastic. It actually takes the plastic, it sucks it up, it compresses it, and hopefully things like that will be able to drive some kind of environmental consciousness and make a real difference, a practical difference on the surface of the oceans by scooping up as much of this plastic as possible and putting it to use, because the plastic can be recycled. It can be reused. Mm. We could put it into 3D printers and print prosthetic legs and God knows what else. So we should use it.
Yeah,
we don't need to keep making more if there's plenty already. You know, I think that there's so much that can go into this. And like yesterday when we were talking about energy saving, when you have a house and you need to put some blinds or shutters in that can keep the heat in during the winter and keep the cool in during the summer. These are the kinds of things we should be able to do. I actually saw a very interesting article the other day about how 3D printing is going to allow us to... We basically won't need to go to the hardware store ever again.
Oh.
One day we'll all have a 3D printer in our house somewhere, and we'll print whatever we need. You know, you need a little stick to open the blind, you could 3D print it. You need an accessory for your cell phone that can go from here to there. You need to extend a cable, you'll be able to 3D print it, all that kind of stuff. It should be pretty damn amazing.
Hmm. Well, on that note, it was only a matter of time. You mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, 3D printing guns.
Oh, yes. It's a big story.
Yeah. Did you see Trump's tweet, which was a bit confusing? He tweeted something along the lines of,
I'm going to be 3D printing the greatest of all New York things. Ever, I'm going to 3D print my wife, and I'm going to 3D print a new child, and I'm going to 3D print a new North Korea.
What did he say?
He said, after, by the way, the administration was in discussions and made it and sent the go-ahead for 3D printed guns to be available online. He then tweeted, I'm looking into 3D plastic guns being sold to the public. Already spoke to the NRA. Doesn't seem to make much sense. So are you for it? Are you not for it, Mr. Trump? We don't know.
He said Trump's left us with a cliffhanger.
But you do think about the possibilities of 3D printing.
Yes. Well, I'm concerned. If Donald isn't being clear on that, then we should all be concerned. All right, I want to go to Matthew. He's on the line. Let's see what he has to say. Hey, Matthew, what's up, dude?
Hey, good, yourself?
Yeah, good. What can you tell me?
I'm just looking at the straw issue and thinking that that's not really our biggest issue. It isn't really straws. It's the recyclability of it.
Yeah.
And cigarette stumps, that's another massive issue. I mean, also just to commend him and Mashaba, what he does every month with going out onto the streets and cleaning out. And I did it last week, I think, with my daughter, and just for an hour. And it's just such a positive change. And I think there is a lot of stuff happening, but as a country, as a community, we've got to get involved with that kind of stuff.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. But first of all, you've hit a number of nerves here. So first thing that I noticed there is that you also hate these cigarette stumpies that people leave lying around. Man, that is such a horrible thing for people to just throw on the ground wherever they are. Smokers, I stand up for smokers, right? I'm not a smoker, but I think anybody who wants to smoke should be allowed to. But Jesus, if I catch one of them dropping a cigarette stumpy somewhere, I'm their enemy. Number one, straight away.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
I don't know. I've never vaped, but I don't know if those cartridges Like, I've never seen them lying around.
No.
So that's another thing where I'm thinking maybe vapors aren't that bad.
Ben, you hate vapors.
No, I don't hate them. I just look, it's it's their choice if they want to go the douche flute option. But you're right. It's odd.
It might be better.
Nolo, you use a vape pen. You guys don't leave your stuff lying around, right? You don't just drop your vape cartridges wherever you go.
Of course not.
No.
No.
And when you've smoked cigarettes, you don't throw your stompies down everywhere.
No, I have to find a bin, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, but we've already realized that Nolo's a lovely person. So let's not throw any sort of tests around.
Oh, my God, Ben.
Oh, that's so sweet. All right. Okay. So, Matthew, that was the first thing. The other thing that you said, which I also think is quite valuable, is the idea that Herman Mashaba goes out, and he's the mayor of Joburg, and he gets everybody cleaning up. And, you know, if you want to have pride in yourself and your city and everything else, you need to live out of the filth. You need to climb out of the filth. I love that he's doing this, and all the people who do it with him every month. You said you and your daughter did?
Yeah, we did it for the first time last week, and it was just an hour, take much, and we made a game out of it, and we went and had ice cream afterwards. And it was just such a nice atmosphere as well. The whole community was there picking up the rubbish.
Where did you clean up?
We're in the Lundtorp area, so we cleaned up. There's a park nearby us that the whole community met, and we all cleaned up together. And it was really just such a good experience.
Beautiful.
I've been through it one day, and I saw how it worked there. Mm-hmm. And how they would go out once a month out into the streets, but there it's a law. Obviously, here it's voluntary. Mm-hmm. But it really makes such a difference. It's such a clean city in Kigali. And I think we can do the same thing here.
I love it, man. Thanks for reminding us of that. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, awesome. Matthew.
Have a great day.
All right. Bye. The UK is apparently cracking down on non-reusable plastic. They want to get rid of food packaging and plastic bags. Recycling should be the last option. We should use the three R's: reduce, reuse, and then only recycle. That's from Jared. Another useful bit of advice. Claudia says, so you're all worried about straws to save fish, but you won't stop eating fish to save the fish.
Yeah, see, smart. Smart.
All right, that's...
Well, it's more about we don't want the fish getting contaminated, I think.
Yeah, that's Claudio. He says, go vegan. Well, I hear more and more arguments that I find it very difficult to argue against as a meat eater. I hear the vegans, I do think they occupy the moral high ground. Got to be honest. The vegans, that you talk about virtuous people, they're doing the least amount of harm. The vegans, trust me, one day we'll look back on this point in human history, if we're all still alive, and we'll be so embarrassed that we used to eat so much meat. That we treated animals like we do. I'm telling you, that it's starting to dawn on me that this is the only morally decent position. And I don't know how to deal with it because I do love to eat meat. I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm feeling a consciousness change, really. And I meet with vegans all the time and they are better people than me. They're better people than you as well if you're eating meat. You're going to have to deal with that. You know how racists are worse people than you? One day meat eaters are going to be looked down on like racists. I'm telling you. Get ready. It's coming. Kate says, the straw thing, guys, it's a small thing, but it starts to change the mindset. That's what we need to happen.
Yeah, see, I think it's the best point to take out of this whole straw thing. It's a changing of mindset. So if you're aware of this, you'll be aware of more.
Michelle says, we have a no plastic bag rule at work. None of the staff are allowed to use plastic bags. It's got to the point where the shops and the waterfront no longer even offer us bags, knowing because we're from the aquarium. We all have to keep bags and keep cups when we go to take away coffee.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
That's also like a very Cape Town thing, is going out with your own mug.
Well, I think it's good. You have your own mug here. You used to have that horrible brown one.
And then you made me give
right.
it away.
Ugh.
But you do. I've seen you using a mug.
Yeah.
You've got that that yellow one that someone sent you. All right. So there's an interesting discussion I didn't think we'd have about recycling and the environment and reusing and plastic and all of that stuff. And it does tie in with that news story about the printable guns, the 3D printable guns, which is a big controversy. Because you imagine, if you're a smart nerd with a slight sociopathic disorder and you can print a 3D gun in your basement, you could do some damage.
Because how do you halt it? The entire thing with 3D printing is You have it in your home. Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
You download a file off the internet, which does the it draws the 3D printing in three dimensions, mm-hmm. and then it instructs the printer to print it that way.
So in terms
you just
of
have to make sure you use the right substrate, the right plastic that you need to print the gun, and it'll take you a little while, but you'll have it within probably a week, maybe even less. Depends on how hot the machine gets.
In terms of halting the banning 3D printing guns,
it's like people can go on the internet and learn how to make a bomb. You can find recipes for bombs on the internet. Bad people will find them and use them. Good people will ignore them.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you stop it. I don't think there is a way. I don't know if there's any point in us discussing this. There are going to be some situations. You know how humans are. Somewhere in the future, some human's going to print something they shouldn't, do something they shouldn't with it, and then there's going to be tears. That's just how it works.
We'll just need to be able to respond to it. It is what it is. Yeah.
I mean, what do I say? It's the way it's going to go.
Good point.
Yeah, sure. There's so much stuff around this that makes me excited about the future, and then there's stuff that makes me a little bit nervous. But we're no longer time-starved, because according to the 200-year-old podcast, which we've been talking about for a while, the future looks great, right? We won't have to stress about, oh, I've only got 80 years on this planet to make a difference. I've only got 80 years to live my life. I've only got 80 years to explore and experience as much as there is. Do you think we're going to be less stressed? If you could watch a tree grow over centuries, if you can witness an action that you do today that has positive fruits in 100 years, and you don't have to stress about being there in 100 years, do you think that'll change the way that you live? You'll be less or more stressed? Half the reason, I reckon, that most people are so out of breath the whole time, they're so stressed out, they're so tense, is because of time. I've got to get this done today. I've got to get that done within the next hour. I've got to reply to these emails in 15 minutes. I've got a message from this person. I've got all of the stuff that makes you feel like you have to react now. There's no time. Time is of the essence. Do you think things will get easier, or think they'll get worse when we have unlimited time?
Well, it all depends on how positive your mindset is, because we all know that if you've got a negative mindset towards anything, everything's a disaster. Everyone's got anxiety towards something. But if you think about it, when you have time, you can do things better. Think about it. If I say to you right now, write me 1,000 words about something, Winston Churchill, you'll produce something dreadful, and you'll say to me, oh, well, if I had more time, I would have done something better.
Yeah.
So now, like we spoke about recycling, we can do this, have a much more sort of big picture idea towards it, and obviously it's going to be better. It can only be better.
Well, humans are looking for solutions to the world's problems, right? And if we have unlimited time, we'll be able to find more solutions.
Sure.
So, I mean, it could be as practical as that. The economy will be augmented by our individual economies, because we'll be able to become more efficient over time.
Mm.
We'll be able to figure out what was a waste of time and not do it again. We'll be able to figure out how to use our time more productively. We'll have more off time, because we'll have more time generally. So that's a good thing.
Just to even imagine how much knowledge you will gather in your lifetime, and you'll be able to use it to make more informed decisions. Be able to say,
well, if you could live to 200, imagine if you separated your life into 4 quadrants and you decided you wanted to master four of your favorite subjects. So let's say you wanted to be a writer for a quarter of your life. Then you wanted to be a doctor for a quarter of your life. Then you wanted to be a lawyer for a quarter of your life. And you wanted to be a traveler for a quarter of your life. You could do all of those. And you could do them all well, because you'd have 50 years for each of them.
Exactly.
By the time you get to 50, you're a master at most things. If you've spent 50 years trying to perfect something, by the time you get there, you've mastered it. Mm. Then it's time for something new.
I think we'd also have a much more mature outlook on setbacks, because nowadays we feel like we fail once, we've wasted some opportunity and it's finished, now we can't. But you go, okay, well, I'll just start again, wiser and more considered, and I'll get this right.
I think one of the things that really turns me on about the idea of living to 200, and I think about this all the time, is the idea that people will become more sustainable. They won't live for the moment. They won't live to survive. They'll live for the long term, right? So they'll start to plan more for a future that they know they'll have.
Yeah.
If you know you're going to live to 200 years old, you put in more effort and more thought into what you do. It will probably drive a lot more equality.
Yeah.
It'll probably give people a lot more resources because you have more time to develop those resources. And I think it'll lead to a death of racism, classism. Who knows?
It's so true. Again, people always say, like, what's the big picture thinking around this, or the big picture plan, or you've got to think bigger than right now.
People
can't, because we feel we haven't got the luxury almost. And a lot of that goes down to our own financial planning as well. I mean, we think, well, oh, it's already so late. What's the point of doing anything now? Yeah. You feel like you haven't got the time.
I didn't start saving at age 14. Yeah. I'm never going to be rich. You know how people are. It's too late for me.
It's too late for me. What difference is it going
to
make?
But if you start saving at 40 and you live to 200, you could have a seriously good retirement.
Exactly.
I don't know. This is fascinating stuff, and I'm sure you've got some ideas too. You're welcome to give us a call if you have something that you want to talk about around this, because it's the most incredible exercise in imagination.
It is, but it also makes you realize what the most incredible commodity is in all of life. It's time.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sia spoke about the fact that if you want to give to that person, you work your time for him.
Also, you've got to have purpose, right? Because if you have 200 years and you don't have a purpose, you're going to get bored very quickly. And life's going to turn into some horrible nightmare. You have to have a purpose. And maybe you can have more than one purpose. Again, divide your life into 10 parts if you want to. 20 years, 20 years, 20 years, 20 years. 20 years is a long time.
Yes.
So sure. If you divide your life into 10 parts and you spend 20 years in each of those parts doing something different, perfecting something, learning to play the guitar. You've got 20 years to learn it. You'll be a pretty good guitarist within 20 years.
Mm.
If you want to learn how to speak Japanese, you've got 20 years. That'll be fantastic. And you're still only 40 by the time you've got those two right.
You know, in the sport, in the first hour, I spoke about LeBron James giving the opportunity to 2,300 kids to have more purpose and do more things in life. What mm-hmm. you're saying is exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
If there's more people with purpose in this world, the world would obviously be a better place.
Yeah, people in survival mode.
Suddenly, you give this 200-year-old thing some air, and only good things can come out of it.
Do you think this having more time would make us more focused?
Well, it's the whole thing about creating more purpose, yeah.
I think so, but it might also make us a bit lazy.
In what way?
Well, because there's no urgency. That's the only worry I have.
That is the only downside.
Deadlines do produce the goods.
Mm.
If you know that by Thursday we have to have this order in, then everybody works really hard to make sure it happens by Thursday.
Yeah.
If you know, got 200 years. There are going to be some people who will rest on their laurels. There are going to be some people who will become lazy. There'll be people who take a whole week off of work because they can make it up.
I'll start that business in 5 years' time.
Correct, because I'm not in any hurry.
But knowing humans and the way we've done things so far, I think we'll also put a lot of pressure on ourselves in a good way, too.
Yeah, quite possibly.
You know, we have to raise the bar in making things happen faster and quicker and sooner. I like that.
Well, the first super centenarian was born in 1798 and lived for 110 years. We've always had long living populations, but now the mass population is starting to achieve this. Experts and futurists like Aubrey de Grey, who we spoke to last week, like Ray Kurzweil, who I often speak about, these people say that it may radically transform some things, but others could stay the same. As Sanlam turns 100, they're looking ahead to the future. The 200-year-old is a future-facing podcast based on leading science and expert opinion, and episode 4 is available right now. You can listen to it on cliffcentral.com, and here's a little preview for you.
What if I told you that you were going to live to 200 years old?
In the next episode of The 200-Year-Old, my 10 going on 100-year-old daughter, Amahle, weighs in on what it will be like for her to turn 200.
I want to get to 500 at least.
I take a look at how a society that turns 200 is different from one that only lives to 90.
It has both changed surprisingly little and absolutely completely.
What did we have to change drastically as people started to live longer?
The universal basic income. It is a monthly stipend of money that is given to every citizen without preconditions. It's free money, basically.
My name is Sam Gwenya, and this is The 200-Year-Old. A future-facing podcast based on leading science and experts. As Sanlam turns 100, they're looking ahead to plan better for the future. Tune in to the200yearold.co.za.
Yes, Jason Derulo.
Jason Derulo.
He always says that in his songs,
I'm
right?
I'm so glad he stopped doing that.
Why does it feel so good? Well, I'm very excited. I'm about to head out on a luxury cruise ship into the Mediterranean. How much fun is that?
Let's just all take a collective moment and try to not be jealous.
You just went to London. You sit down.
Yeah.
There's something about stopping in Monte Carlo, just basking in all of that amazingness that brings up the envy levels, I have to admit.
Yeah. All right, but I'll take you along for the ride.
I got so excited.
No, I'm not actually taking you along. What I mean is that we'll include you in the fun. Give you an idea of what's going on.
He just saw himself in a suitcase at that stage.
I know.
I'm such a dodo. I got excited for 2.3 seconds. Like, I didn't know this. Thank you for surprising me.
I'm not actually packing you in.
Okay, but just take a dope Instagram picture when you're pit stopping at all of these places and on the cruise, please.
So I don't know how many people in South Africa have thought about the option of going on a cruise ship rather than just going to, I don't know, where do people like to go? The coast. Yeah, you know, where do people like to go, Lorna?
Belito.
Oh, Belito.
Hello, Lorna. Margaret, how are you? Sorry, I just jumped in there. I just put myself in there.
Margaret.
Oh, my gosh.
Good God. Can you imagine going to Margaret rather than going on some fancy ship? I mean, that's a complete, that's a joke.
Oh, my gosh, yeah,
but
it is.
You know, it doesn't, like, people, you work so hard all year.
Yeah.
And people get maybe one, maybe two holidays a year if they're lucky. And instead of doing something spectacular, They do something, well, just settle for the place down the road. And that's horrible if you think about how much of your life you spend working for that holiday.
That's also true. I mean, I have a makeup artist who loves to travel, and I'm quite proud of her. Like, she'll take her makeup money and, like, go see the world, which is pretty cool.
That's amazing.
So when I told her about the cruise, she was like, oh, my gosh, that sounds like a bargain, which is fantastic. But, I mean, this one's, like, next level.
You see, I haven't been on one of these cruises before. I've been on, like, your local rubber duck that goes around the, you know, Portuguese islands or whatever. And that's fun. Don't get me wrong. I've had some really great experiences, but this looks like it's super smart. I mean, I was looking at what I have to pack.
Listen.
I have to pack a dinner jacket and make sure
I've got a full on stylist on board in my bag. Okay. Like,
it's the whole thing.
Every outfit is going to be like Queen of Sledge.
Now, I remember we had Lorna Maseko in here not so long ago to tell us about her trip on this enormous, what ship was it that you spoke about when you were?
It was Symphony of the Seas. It was insane. Like, I went on that and I thought, you know, I was saying to Gareth, like, I arrived and I thought, like, I was like a little kid in a candy store, because I was like, oh my gosh, oh wow, this
it's a
is
city.
So phenomenal.
It's a whole
it's
city.
It's a proper city. Yeah. It's insane.
How many people are on that ship, Seymour? Seymour Brook is here. He's from Cruises International. And in South Africa, these are the guys that you talk to if you want to go on one of these. Well, how many people in that Symphony of the Seas?
Yeah, morning, Gareth. 5,500 odd?
Yeah.
5,500.
5,500. I know it sounds like it's crazy, a lot of people, but trust me, the ship is so big. Once you're on and everyone starts finding their little spots, you actually don't feel it. And that's the magic of the Royal Caribbean, for
you've
example.
You've got like a ton of restaurants on board. You've got these gardens. I saw pictures of Lorna walking through these gardens.
it's called Central Garden.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I promise Central you, Park, like, you will never believe. Like, you know, it's like going to like a different country and being like, oh my gosh, I had such an amazing time in a country. And then you go on a cruise like that and you're like, oh my gosh, do they make cruises like this? It'll change your life.
You get to stop in a number of different countries.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think this is going to be quite exciting, because this one that we're going on now, it's the President's Cruise, which means What, the president of Crystal Cruises is there?
Correct. So Tom is on board and he's the president of Crystal Cruises worldwide. And every year he selects.
He only goes by his first name, Tom. Is he like Madonna?
Something like that. But yeah, he picks a cruise every year. And obviously for some of the long-standing Crystal clients, they look out for this cruise because they want to join him on it. I guess it's the prestige and all of that. But also the whole of Crystal's worldwide PR team is on board. So what an awesome opportunity to be on board at the same time.
And we'll talk to these people and find out what they what they've got up to, what the company does, what kinds of cruises they have in their portfolio, what kinds of ships they have. It's amazing. And I think, you know, for people who want to know about that world, we'll give you an insight into it.
Mm. And will it kind of be like Love Boat, where you want to get on Tom's tail for dinner? Like, you always want to be on the captain's table.
That's the place to be.
I'm guessing where the action happens.
I guess that's where you want to be, because if you're seen on that table, you're the big, big thing.
Yeah, look, Crystal is it's not like a royal. This ship we're going on only takes 1,070 people and has almost 700 crew. So, you know, it's very personalized. Oh, wow. So you'll see the captain more than once. And that's the difference. You know, on a bigger ship, you might not even see the captain during your cruise. But yeah, you'll probably walk past them at some stage every day. Wow. And they'll have a chat to you. And that's quite exciting.
Insane.
Yeah. So like, I watched Gareth ask, so as not to sound like a moron, but also seem like he's making good conversation. Does he ask about weather? Does he ask about wind speed? Like what's good etiquette?
What, to captain?
What's like good captain conversation?
Well, funnily enough, the captain makes a daily announcement on board where he actually goes through all those kind of things and he'll give you facts and he'll say, right now the ocean is 4.2 meters deep below us. This is the wind speed. This is the current direction. This is the temperature. This is how far we are from the coast. He does a daily update, which lasts about 10 minutes. So you almost don't even have to ask him when you see him because you have the info already.
Amazing. In other words, when you see him, you go, nice suit.
And it's a really fancy boat, so he won't end off by saying, whoever left their pink panties on the rail, please get them off right now.
Ben. Firstly you'll be shot if you keep on calling it a boat. A boat is something on the Vol Dam.
Correct. Thank
the rubber duck.
Ben's wondering why he wasn't invited. Stop calling it a boat. No, all right, so first of all, I just want to talk to Seymour for a second because you had like 18 years of experience in the travel and hospitality industry, so you know what this is all about. People are looking for something different, right?
Most definitely, and I think it's maybe more a lack of awareness. People, as we chatted in the beginning, people go to the local holiday, they go to Cape Town, and you know what? You actually end up spending a fortune as well going to Cape Town in December or Durban or whatever it is.
Never find parking
and bad food and whatever it might be. So, you know, cruising is really, it's exciting. Worldwide, it's the fastest growing segment in travel worldwide.
Why do people think that it's only for old people?
I just think it's maybe from those old movies that you see and brochures where you always see maybe like that old, we call them the silver foxes, the guys with the gray hair and the beard, and they've got the silver fox wife and they're standing there on board and they're white. And I think maybe that's the perception and the odd movie that you see, and it's always old people, and it's really not the case. It really isn't.
So what kind of people do go on these Crystal Cruises, for example?
Oh, people that want adventure, people that want to explore. It's all about exploration. It's about seeing the world and seeing the world with the comfort of your sort of, let's call it your hotel room, always there for you.
Your hotel moves with you and you go from, you know, this amazing city to that port to this piece of beautiful ocean.
Absolutely, and I think it's a more hassle-free holiday, and that's why people go, and especially why they go on a Crystal, because you get to explore these most beautiful destinations without having to catch a taxi every day, catching a different flight, checking in.
That's such a good point.
And people don't think of that, because people go, I want to go to Europe, let's go fly to Barcelona, then we fly to Lisbon, then we go to London. Think of all
point.
The taxis, all the packing and unpacking.
And if one of those flights has a delay...
Exactly.
Domino effects, and people still think that Airbnb is a good idea. That horrifies me. It really does.
It does horrify me as well. I had the worst experience.
What happened? What happened to you?
I had a long time ago. I went to like a, I didn't book the place. My whatever at the time did, and then when we arrived, there was like a stripper.
You don't
pole.
Even call it a partner or a boyfriend. You call it a whatever. God, you must have really hated this guy. All right,
not really. And there was like a stripper pole. It was like slimy. I was like, I am going to a hotel, so I wouldn't do Airbnb, but I would choose to cruise because it just seems a lot more economical as well. Like, I just feel like if you, you know, back then my mindset used to be like, oh no, we'll fly to Barcelona and then we'll do 2 days there, then we'll go, you know, we'll go via Dubai and then we'll stay in Dubai for 2 days. But if you can just cruise that, I mean, you're in the comfort of your room the entire time. You've got Nobu there.
What kinds of things do you do on board, Lorna?
I eat.
What are you going to be doing? I'm going to travel with you, so I want to know where you're going to be. Are you going to be hiding out in your cabin most of the time?
No ways. I want to experience everything. I want to.
So do you go to the casino and gamble?
No, I don't gamble. That's one thing I will not do. I will not spend my money and not get any money back.
You go to fancy restaurants?
Definitely go to fancy restaurants. I want to meet some of the chefs. I want to experience.
Well, you're big on food, so you've been on these ships before. I mean, what kind of food can we look forward to here?
So the one I'm really looking forward to is Nobu, which is absolutely amazing. Nobu. I mean, Seymour was like, they bring Nobu to your room. I mean, where in the world do you have that? Wow. Like, you know, like, I know, right?
That is another level on that's room
like,
service.
Yeah, yeah. That's like looking, completely.
I was looking at the brochure. They say, you can have a private cocktail party in your room if you want to.
You know what I mean?
Your butler will organize it. No, seriously.
No, I know. That's why I'm like, you know, I want to experience everything. I want
that's
go,
class, man.
I want to swim, but like, yeah, I was going to say black people swim, like just get into the water and snap it, you know, not get into the water with my weave.
I think the pool's only 1.2 meters deep, so I think you'll be okay on board.
That's my kind of pool. I love it, you know. But yeah, I can't wait to try out the restaurants. The shopping's amazing. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to experience it fully. You know, this is like, I think 7 days. So there's enough time to really like get your hands dirty and kind of experience the entire thing. I think it's going to be pretty phenomenal. I'm so excited. I've already got two outfits. I still need about 20.
Oh, hey now. Yeah. I think the being on board is one thing, but where are you guys actually going to be stopping as well?
We start in Lisbon.
Lisbon.
So that's a nice thing. The cruise starts in Lisbon, but it doesn't depart straight away. So it actually overnights in Lisbon. So the nice thing is we'll check in on board and then we'll be able to go and explore Lisbon because the cruise only departs the day after. So again, we can go and experience the town and go to bars and visit whatever and go back to the ship at night.
So I've never been to Portugal. I've never been to Spain. So those are both going to be new to me.
Yeah.
I've never been to Cassis in France and I've never been to Monte Carlo. So, I mean, all of these are going to be new, completely new to me. I have no idea what to expect. I mean, I've obviously read about these places. I've seen them in TV shows, movies, and all kinds of things. It's going to be damn exciting.
It's going to be amazing. And I'm sure you've Googled it, but Cassis, in actual fact, a lot of people say it's nicer than Saint-Tropez. And it's a little fishing village. It's 30 minutes away from Marseille. And some of you might have heard of Cassis. It's like a raspberry blackcurrant juice. It's very famous.
It's like a cherry, isn't it?
Yes. Oh. And that's where it's made, in Cassis. So you can go. And they're also very known for their rosé, their wines.
Ooh, wow.
Apparently stunning beaches without the crowds. So a lot of people do go
look
there.
Look at that.
And
little
I think, again, on your own, you probably wouldn't go and fly to Cassis. If you're planning a holiday, but now because you're cruising, you can actually experience a destination like that.
You've hosted a bunch of international media trips, so you've taken a lot of South African celebrities around. Any of them behave badly?
What happens on tour stays on tour.
Which is
good answer.
Yes. All right. So there probably are a few that you would travel with again and others that you wouldn't. No names mentioned.
Yes, but to be honest, we've always been quite selective as to who we've chosen to travel with, and it's always been a blast.
But that just means there's tons of fun to be had.
There's tons of fun, and you can't have more fun than traveling internationally, let's be honest. What an experience to travel with people, experience the world with other people. You know, whether you're traveling with a celebrity or not, you're traveling with people, and the world opens up your eyes, and it's
and you
fun.
Never know who you could meet. Like, you bump into someone on a ship like this, they could be, you know,
your future husband.
There we go. Lorna, now we know why Lorna's going.
No! I'm just putting out things, you know what I mean?
If we can find you like a 900-year-old man with tons of cash in the bank, I'm going to so put you together.
No, you're bringing him back to see
speechless. I was about to say speechless.
I'm going to find the oldest man on the ship, find out what his net worth is, and I'm going to bring him straight to your room.
For the private cocktail party.
Just asked about to organize that. Okay, well, you know, that's hilarious.
Yeah, how's the cooking show going?
Cooking show is great. Third season next year.
Amazing.
Tons of fun. A cookbook as well, which I'm quite excited. That's why I'm also quite excited about exploring all the restaurants, because it's also part of that, like, research into, like, sure, food and
you get
and
new inspiration.
Absolutely, which I'm really looking forward to. So cookbook next year, there's a lot of exciting things that I'm doing, you know, but yeah, super super excited to go on this cruise. Like, you know, I'm like, when's Saturday? Bring on Saturday.
The other thing I found out about Seymour is that he's a wildlife photographer. Have you seen his pictures?
Insane. I said, Seymour, can you translate animal into black goddess?
No. I've always said I prefer animals to people, so maybe that's why my animal photos are better. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. But is that shade?
I reckon we might have to, like, draft you in to take those pictures of Lorna in the pool, you know.
He's going to have to.
You have to be like posing for the pics. All right, this sounds terrific.
Yeah.
Okay, is there anything else I need to know? Anything I need to pack? Anything I need to be aware of?
I think the main thing is that even though it's a 6-star cruise ship, it's casual. And Crystal likes to call it crystal casual.
Yeah.
And again, the perception is you've got to have the suit and tie every night. You don't. They have one formal night, which everyone enjoys dressing up for.
Sure.
The rest of the time, you're going to dress casually. So during the day, you can have your shorts on and all of that and just enjoy. You want to be outside on the decks enjoying the sunshine. It's quite warm in Europe at the
European
moment.
It's European summer. Yeah, they're actually going through a bit of a heat wave, aren't they?
Correct. So, beautiful. You know, it's don't gorgeous. Have to be all dressed up.
Look at us going, it's beautiful. Because for us, it's like a holiday. People in Europe are like,
give us some water.
And of course, with all the excursions and all the times that we're in different towns, you know, you get to pack nice casual clothes and go walk around and all of that. So, yeah, it's nice. And you'll be able to relax, do as little or as much as you want. I think that's the...
Are we going to get to visit Princess Charlene in Monaco when we stop at Monte
We've
Carlo?
We've already organized a private... No,
I was like, what?
Did I miss Sorry? This? But that's
I'm
right.
Okay, I'm changing the outfit. You know.
I mean, really, I'm kind of disappointed.
She might want to stow away, though.
Yeah. Did we call her Prisoner Charlene for a while? Remember when she was under lock and key in Monte Carlo? Nice. Maybe we shouldn't bring that up. Shame. Maybe she's paying attention and she'll, you know, find out about this and block us from stopping in the port of Monte Carlo.
You guys are going to have the best and the craziest of times. Lorna, I just would like to ask one thing of you. Please ensure Gareth takes amazing Instagram pictures as well.
I will help him.
Thank you.
She's going to give me the masterclass.
I will.
We need to live vicariously through you guys.
Trust
That's
me,
it.
I'm just saying that my page is about to change. Hey, Seymour?
Absolutely.
I'm trusting Seymour. But also, I think it's just creating like beautiful content for people to see and kind of see the cruise, get inspired to want to travel, get inspired to want to cruise.
If you're one of those people who's not sure, this, you know, let's try to persuade you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you'll definitely be persuaded. And I think the nice thing about it, there's a cruise for everybody. Like, depending on the kind of person you are. I mean, you know, Crystal Cruise is definitely my cup of tea. But if you're, you know, if you are younger or you like to party, there are different kinds of cruises. And I think that's a beautiful thing. There's something for somebody. So.
And, I mean, you guys do have, with Cruises International, you have a whole range of options. Yeah. So people can go, they can go and see the fjords in Norway. They can go to the Caribbean. They can go around Southeast Asia. It's incredible what the options are.
You can literally go anywhere, Gareth. We represent 9 brands. So as Lorna mentioned, we have a brand for everyone. Whether you want the fun in the sun, whether you want the massive ships with the vibe, or you want the small ships with the intimate service, there literally is something for everyone. And everyone's budget, which is quite important. You know, so we're very passionate about what we sell, and the world is there to be explored, and there's some countries people don't even think you can cruise to, but you can literally cruise almost anywhere in the world, which is fantastic.
Ben, where would you go?
Many different places. I'll get there, Lorna.
No, there's a cruise for everyone. That's
shame,
what I'm like.
Sorry, me.
For now, I'm just saying Crystal is where we're going.
Lorna's like, gosh, shame. She almost patted Ben on the head.
It's hilarious. There, Ben.
That's what I'm saying. There's a cruise for everyone.
But
there
is. Like, you think the UAE, you think you might just fly there going around.
Yeah.
That place to cruise is fascinating.
It's like, absolutely amazing.
Like, the seas around there are fascinating.
And from there, you can visit Sri Lanka and India and all of those. There's some phenomenal cruises out of Dubai.
And also, like, the time of year you do this kind of stuff, because obviously you do festive season cruises, there's different festivities around the world, South American cruises, like those countries are fascinating. Or if you just like Alaska or other places where there's just snow, so you think coast, you think heat, but also these winter cruises look, it's like amazing.
Well, guys, thank you very much for popping by. We will we'll depart on Saturday.
Woo-hoo. Exciting. Look forward to it.
All right, and don't forget, next week you've also got a public holiday, right? So Thursday next week is Women's Day. So for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Ben and Sia will be looking after you, and then they'll be joined, obviously.
Yeah. Where's your woo-hoo there?
We'll send you an update every morning. How's that?
We'll check in. Don't worry. Don't
with
you
a
worry.
Mimosa and a nobu yeah, next
to
us.
We'll be checking in. Yeah, there'll be none of that making you jealous stuff, of course. And try our best not to.
Of course not.
I'll try really hard. Okay, the unnews for this morning. Cyril Ramaphosa is having to act on the land expropriation thing. He knows it's a terrible idea, but it's the only way he can stay in charge of the ANC and for the ANC to stay in power. Thankfully for him, though, nobody will touch his 37 registered properties. For those, he will maintain universal law of property ownership. ZANU-PF have taken an early lead in the Zimbabwean elections. Despite the opposition having recorded 51% of the early counted votes, ZANU-PF claim to have 61% and are confident it will rise as the counting continues. Don't do too much maths. It'll hurt your head. ZANU maths. Jose Mourinho is feeling a little uninspired by the season ahead. He believes he doesn't have all the star players he needs to compete against the big teams. Nor will he, as his board isn't going to cough up any more money. He says at this rate, he will become like Arsene Wenger. Nobody wants that. We shall see you tomorrow. Coming up in a moment, a really, really powerful discussion I had with someone called Claire McFarlane. She overcame all kinds of difficulty as a 21-year-old art student living in France. And she had a harrowing incident there, an incredible life story. She's been on a journey for justice ever since, making amazing advancements, including getting her perpetrator, the rapist, the guy who she was raped by, apprehended through DNA testing. And you can hear this fascinating story of her living this incredible life that she has since that ordeal. It's an amazing story. It's coming up next. CliffCentral.com. We shall see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.